Good morning, greetings, hey, good morning, hey. I'm glad you all could come this morning. I've been praying a lot, and God's put something on my mind and heart, and I've been led to share it throughout the world, all the new churches and works that are springing up all over. But as I looked at, you know, what I was going to do and where I was going to have to go, I realized that I was going to have to travel by boat. And I'm not really a boat person, you know. I like a horse, you know, 4 feet on the ground. You pull the reins this way, the horse goes this way. Pull the reins that way, the horse goes that way. So, I thought, you know, I could deliver this message to you. You could take notes you know, you could write it down. We could do it like a letter, and we could pass it around that way. Like if you're traveling somewhere, or you know somebody who's going somewhere for business or to visit people, we could spread it around that way. And the first thing about all this is that you don't have to say anything about me. Because I'm really not important here. It doesn't matter what you say. You could say, just say, like James, the bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, greetings. Oh, you know, it's tough being a Christian. Man, they ridicule you and try and make you feel bad about your values and what's important in life. And we get persecuted. I mean, there's a group that's worked for a wealthy landowner, and he withheld their wages by fraud, and the family's going hungry tonight. So, I don't know, but as I was praying, the Lord said to me, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience have her perfect work in you, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Now, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose he'll receive anything of the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. The other day, I was really bothered. I mean, this coach came whizzing by, you know, fancy coach, splashing mud on me, winding up the hill to this castle. And I saw that guy, man. I was thinking, Lord, what? Now, that guy, he got to that castle climbing on the backs of other people, you know? He didn't get there honestly. He lied and stole and cheated. I mean, what's going on, Lord? You know, what's that about? And you know what he said to me? He said, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, in his honesty, in his righteousness, in living and doing things the correct way. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, and its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. And so the rich man also will fade away in his pursuit. But blessed is the man who endures temptation, who doesn't lie and steal and cheat and climb his way to the top on the backs of other people. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. He'll be rich. But you know, we have to take a little responsibility for ourselves, don't we? Huh? I mean, we all get a little selfish and greedy and impatient, huh? Let no one say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he gets a little selfish and greedy, right? Each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Be not deceived, my beloved brethren. God wants us to be an example. God wants us to bless us and give us good things. And he wants us to do and use them in a right way. Be not deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights. He's done this so that we can be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. Wrath of man doesn't produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all wickedness and filthiness and overflowing of wickedness and receive with meekness. Don't take yourself so seriously, huh? Don't get all upset because they done you wrong or they disrespected you. Meekness. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. And be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. See, he observes himself, goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, and looks at yourself and knows what you would want someone to do, right? The perfect law of liberty. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now, maybe you do that. I don't know. I mean, maybe you're perfect. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and can't bridle his tongue, his religion's useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: do something. Get out and do something. You know, it's good. It's good that you don't do anything wrong. But you've also got to do something right. Amen. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit the orphans and the widows in their trouble. And also not to do anything wrong. Keep oneself unspotted from the world. Brethren, hold not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there comes into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and you say to him, sit here in a good place. And there comes in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you say to him, stand there. No, sit here at my footstool. Don't touch anything. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves? And become judges? Huh? Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich? I mean, they have to have faith for maybe for every meal, for where they're going to live. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs to the kingdom which he's promised to those who love him? But we dishonor the poor man. And why? Don't the rich oppress you, drag you into the courts? Don't they blaspheme that noble name by which you're called? If you really fulfill the royal law, you know, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For he who keeps the whole law yet stumbles in one point is guilty of all. That, follow me on this. I want to make a point here. I know this is obvious, but I want you to understand this. Okay, he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder, right? Okay, we got that. I mean, we know adultery and murder are sins, right? We shouldn't be doing that. Okay, that's obvious. All right, so if you don't commit adultery, that's great. We're proud of you. You're doing good. But you happen to commit murder, well, you become a transgressor of the law, right? Okay. So let me ask you this. What if you're holding a grudge? What if you can't forgive someone who's despitefully used you? What if you're hanging on to anger and bitterness in your life? Should you be doing that? So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. Now, what am I talking about? I've been saying this all morning. The law of liberty. What is this? Laws, don't they like put you in a, you know, make you stop here and go there and do this, do that? That, how does that give you liberty? I'll tell you how. It's the law you don't have to think about, okay? If you got a question about whether this is right or that's wrong or whatever, this law, you just put it to this little test. It's the law Jesus told us about. Love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. In other words, how would you want to be treated? Live your life that way. And it's freeing because you really don't have to think about it, do you? You know what's right. Because you know how you'd want it to be done to you. The law of liberty. I don't have to worry. I know I'm doing the right thing because I know that's what I would want someone to do for me or to do to me, right? So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. Because I want to tell you something. Judgment is without mercy to the one who can't forgive, to the one who has no mercy. But you want a little insurance this morning, huh? Because, I mean, hey, come on. We all do it, right? I'm going to get back at them, you know, and they shouldn't have done that to me, and right? We've all been there, right? Huh? You want a little insurance for that? Mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Amen. Now, what does it profit if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Maybe. What did Paul say? That I might win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God by faith, that I might know him. Right? You know that, right? So, what am I talking about here? Well, let me ask you this. What good is your faith if you don't use it? I mean, is it just a concept somewhere? I mean, yes, we're saved by faith. But doesn't that mean we have to do something with it? We have to illuminate it? What's it profit if someone says he has faith but does not have works? You show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but doesn't give them the things necessary for the body, what's that profit? Thus, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And I'm not just talking about your faith to move mountains, your faith for miracles. I'm talking about your faith also, your faith, your set of values, your principles that you live on, the principles of Jesus that he taught us, that he wants us to do. Oh yeah, you believe in one God. Aren't you special? Even the demons believe in God. Come on, they know there's a God. But you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, his faith was made perfect. And he was called a friend of God. Was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers, sent them out the other way? So you see, faith without works is dead. And man is justified by works. And faith is justified by works. Whoo, tough stuff, right? Tell you what, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. I stumble, you stumble. If anyone doesn't stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that we may turn them, and we turn their whole body. And look at the ships. They're so large, and they're driven by fierce winds, yet they're turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. And even so, the tongue is a little member. It boasts great things. You see how great a force a little fire kindles? Tongues of fire. World of iniquity. It's where all our trouble starts, right? The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it sets on fire the course of nature. And it's set on fire by hell. Every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the seas, tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and our Father. And with it, we curse men. In the same mouth, see blessings and cursing. It's ought not to be so. I mean, does a spring bring forth both fresh water and bitter? Does a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So, zip it up. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. The meekness of wisdom. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Maybe that's being smart enough to know you don't have all the answers, huh? The meekness of wisdom. Let him show by his good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if there be any bitter envy or self-seeking in your hearts, don't lie and boast against the truth. In other words, don't kid yourself. I want you to do good things. And I don't care. I mean, if you want to get publicity or you want to, you know, show off a little bit by doing something, that's fine. But don't kid yourself, right? Not necessarily a saint, right? Don't boast and lie against the truth. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. The wisdom that is from above is first pure. Okay? It doesn't have a hidden agenda. It doesn't have an ulterior motive. It does the right thing because it's the right thing to do. It's just good because it's good. It's pure. Pure. And it's peaceable. It doesn't cause problems and, you know, stir up trouble with the people around you. And it's peaceable. It's pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. We like it. Okay? We want to be around wisdom. It's pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's willing to yield. It's so smart that it's willing to let somebody else tell it what to do. It's so smart that it's willing to let somebody else take credit for what it did. It's willing to yield. It's pure. It's peaceful. It's gentle. It's willing to yield. It's full of mercy. Remember that? You remember that mercy I was talking about? That insurance policy? Okay, it's full of that. Full of mercy and good fruits. You can taste it. I mean, you can see it, wisdom, right? It's full of good fruit. And now the seeds of righteousness are sown in peace by those who would make peace. So where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? That's what today we call sexual tension. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Oh, yeah. You ask and do not receive that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Or you think the scripture says in vain that the spirit that dwells in us yearns jealously? But you know what? He loves us. He knows our hearts. He knows how tough it is on us. And he gives us more grace. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Draw near to God. And he'll draw near to you. Humble yourself. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he'll lift you up. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And don't speak evil of one another. For he who speaks evil of a brother and judges a brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. And if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's only one lawgiver who's able to save and destroy. Who are you? Who are we to judge another? Come now, you say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you don't know what will happen tomorrow, right? I mean, what's your life? It's a vapor. Whew. Appears for a little time, then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. In other words, you're kidding yourself again here. Huh? You think you're going to live forever. Got news for you. It's not going to happen. Yeah. Now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. We got to be conscious of how temporary our lives are. How important each day, each moment, each person around us is. Don't have forever. You don't have forever to show love, to show kindness, to be with those you love, to care for those you love. But now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Therefore, and this is a tough one because I have a hard time with this one. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. Woo. Hey, we're all guilty of that, aren't we? And why? Because we're buying and selling and making a profit, right? I mean, we get busy. I mean, hey, it's hard to make ends meet. It's hard to, you know? And nobody here should feel bad about that. I mean, about working hard. That's a good thing, okay? I'm proud of you, okay? And sometimes you're in those times in your life where it's like from dawn till midnight, work, work, work. But what we're talking about here is the opportunities, even at work, there are opportunities to do good. And sometimes we can get too consumed, you know, with what we're trying to do, and we miss those opportunities. There's opportunities here in the church. There's opportunities in all the people you know and your families. Gotta look out for those. That's what we're talking about this morning. Watch for those opportunities and take advantage of them. You hear the Lord talking. Do you hear him? He's saying, hey, encourage that person. Love on that person. If you got a couple extra bucks, help that guy out. Okay? Those little moments. Help somebody when you feel that little tug. Don't slough it off and say, oh, I'm late. I gotta go, or I'm tired. I've been working too hard. That's okay, but stop for a minute. Sacrifice your time, your energy for just a little minute. That's what we're talking about. To him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him is sin. And I want to tell you something. The people that get all wrapped up in how many toys they can get, and that's what life's all about, and how big their castle is, and how cool their chariot is, and all that stuff, right? That is not what life's about. And I got to tell you something. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your garments, your gold is corrupted, and your garments are corrupted. Your gold and silver are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your riches are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and eat your flesh like fire. You've heaped up treasures in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. And he does not resist you. You've lived your life on earth in pleasure and luxury, fattening your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You've murdered and condemned the just, but he does not resist you. But I got good news for you, church. All right? Those of you who've got your head on straight, priorities in order, looking for those opportunities to do good. Huh? I got good news for you. Be patient, brethren, for the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts. And don't grumble against one another, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of patience and suffering. Indeed, we count them blessed who endured. But above all, just be honest. Just have a reputation for integrity. Don't swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no. At least you fall into judgment. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone among you cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if you've committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Imagine that, Elijah. Huh? Nature like ours? Come on. Yeah. I mean, you guys remember Elijah, right? I mean, that, you know. Huh? Went into heaven on a chariot of fire. Elijah, remember he was battling Ahab and Jezebel and the prophets of Baal, and he had to go hide out in a little canyon, and the birds brought him his food. That's how much faith he had. Huh? Wouldn't you have liked to have known that guy? You know, you go back to that part I was telling you before, you know, with how the poor are rich in faith. Elijah was poor. Imagine the faith to live off the land and have the birds feed you. Come on. He had a nature like ours. Yeah. And you remember he went into town and found that lady at the well there, and he goes to her house and says, you know, make me something to eat. Hey, this lady's got no food. I mean, you know, she's going to make her last little cracker or biscuit and die. He says, give it to me. She's, you know, this much flour and this much oil. Every time she goes to her cupboard, there's more. Man, the biscuits just kept coming. Her son died. He goes up, prays for his son, raised him back from the dead. This guy had a nature like ours. Yeah, same doubt, same fear, same temptations. And then, of course, you know, he has it out with with Ahab and the prophets of Baal, and they meet on the plain, and they're out there trying to build some kind of sacrifice. He carves the calf in the right way, builds a little altar, sets it all up, and then covers it with water. How's he going to light this? And he prays, and God sends lightning. Fire from heaven consumes that sacrifice, turns the stones to dust. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain, didn't rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again. And the heavens brought forth rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way saves a soul from death and covers a multitude of sin. Amen. Amen. Well, that was the book of James. Amen. I'm Tim. Praise God. I was just thinking, you know, you can't memorize a book of the Bible and not have your life changed. I've memorized like 3 or 4 of these and some other things, and it's just been really great and really life-changing. There's a couple of things I wanted to hit on this morning just to remind you what you just heard and maybe how you can apply it to your life and use it. I know, like, this community, this church has so many outreaches and opportunities and opportunities that are coming. You're working on a church plant, correct? Or
being a part of 32 church plants.
32 church plants. Okay, come on. There's opportunities to do good. You see it, you feel that tug in your heart, and you don't do it. Nah, you know, you heard what I said, what James said. All right. Anyway, think about that. Try and get involved in that. Try to make time for that. Yeah, what stops us from doing good is buying and selling and making a profit. We understand that. And I also want you to know that's not bad, okay? The Lord wants to bless you. He wants you to be successful. We need successful people. Empty plates don't feed hungry children. You know, we need people to work hard and be successful, and God wants you to. There's a dozen scriptures I could also emphasize that I just quoted that where he wants to bless you, or you will be blessed if you look at life and proceed in life this way. So that's all there. But we got to just not get caught up, make that our goal, right? That's what he's talking about. People who get consumed that's all life is, you know, all their toys, as they say, you know, all these grown-up toys. Watch out for that. Watch out for that. You know, pursue other things, but be successful. I want you to be successful. Work hard. And it's tough sometimes. You know, sometimes it's just, man, just to make ends meet, you work all day long and all night long, and that's tough. I've been there, and some of you are there now, and I know that. But there's always opportunities to do good. Look for them. This church, I'm sure this church needs help in the nursery. There isn't a church in the United States that doesn't need help in the nursery. All right? There's got to be an opportunity there, right? Come on. So look around in your neighborhood, people next to you. Just look around. There's opportunities. Go out and do something with your faith. Yes, we are saved by faith. None of us can obtain salvation through good deeds and good works. We have to believe in Jesus, that he died for our sins, that he rose again. We do have to believe that. We do believe that. That takes faith. I understand that. But also, Jesus taught us a few things, hey? Gave us a few examples. And would like us to carry that on. And that's what James is talking about this morning. Doing something with your faith. Yeah, like, I mean, I like James because some people think he's kind of grumpy and serious, but I think he makes some little funny jokes in there somewhere. Like that, like when he says, you believe in one God. You know, even the demons believe and tremble. Come on, that's a little sarcasm, isn't it? Give it a little elbow in the ribs there. You know, it's not just enough to believe in one God. I mean, the devil knows there's a God, right? You got to do something. You gotta go out and try and do good and all. And then the ending of this was, you know, where he says, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that, hey, so when people among you that you know you are and that you know are in trouble and are not, you know, proceeding down the wrong path, and you know that, and maybe you know you should talk to them. That's the hardest people to talk to, right? Family members, other church members, people at work or around your neighborhood, because they know you. Hey, what are you talking to me about that, you self-righteous jerk? I saw you last week, right? They can't talk to them, why? But listen, how about if we talk to them like we heard this morning in wisdom? Huh? What if we approach him with no ulterior motive, with no, you know, hidden agenda or trying to manipulate him or get him to do this or that, just purely say, hey, you know, this doesn't look so good. And do it in a way that doesn't, you know, like ruin the 4th of July picnic or the, you know, Christmas or whatever else, peaceably, pure and peaceably and gently, you know, so that, you know, it's in love. It's, you know, a little hug. Pure and peaceable and gentle and willing to yield. In other words, willing to hear it back. Well, okay, I'm glad you brought that up with me. By the way, I have a feeling about you and not take offense if they have something they want you to correct. Willing to yield. Pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. And forgive them no matter what. Once it's done, it's done. It's over. Forget it. God forgave him, you got to forgive him. Pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. What'll come out of that kind of approach? You can taste it, huh? You can hold it in your hand like a big juicy apple or orange or whatever, huh? Full of good fruits. And without partiality, you're not trying to, you know, put one up on somebody else or make this person feel bad about that person. Just do it. Go back to the first thing. Pure. Just do it pure. Amen. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there to you because it's something I think we all struggle with. It's always hard, you know, but God wants us to do that because we see things that maybe, because we know somebody, we see things and know things, but then we don't say anything because we feel, well, a little guilty because they know us too. But maybe we approach it that way, it'll work. Now, you can't quote the book of James and not talk about divine healing because it's very clear in the book of James. Maybe one of the clearest scripture, no way around this, in the Bible. And it's just what he says. He says, if anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, he'll be forgiven. Confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Pretty clear, isn't it? Amen. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. And I just want to give you an opportunity this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed. Is there anybody here this morning that, like, some of the things I was talking about, maybe you're holding a grudge. You've been holding on too long. There's bitterness in your heart and you just, you know, you need to get past that. You want to get on with your life and you know that's not the way to live. Maybe you've been missing too many opportunities to do good, and maybe you feel like maybe your life has become a little, just a little bit, maybe selfish or self-centered at least, and you wanna do something for God and change your life, make it more meaningful. Is there anybody here this morning that would raise your hand? There may be other things that you need to get right with the Lord. Maybe there's something else. But would you raise your hand and say, Tim, would you pray for me? Yeah, I see that hand. Yeah, I see that hand and that hand. Number of hands. Yes. Amen. Praise God. Yes. It's a number of hands. Good. How about this? Is there anybody here this morning that would like a touch from the Lord in your body, that you need a healing touch? You have an illness. Yeah, I see that hand. You have a... Yes, I see that hand. Yes. Yes, yes. All over. Praise God. I want everybody who raised your hand, I want you to stand up and come down here. Nobody knows what you raised your hand for, and it's none of their business. I want you to come down here. Come down here for healing. Come down here to straighten out your life. Come down here for both. Because James, look, this scripture, it says, as you make this public confession for healing, he'll raise you up, and he will also forgive your sins. Okay? So come on down. Let's back up just a little bit here and let's spread out. I want everybody to hold hands is what I want to do this morning. So all you who are coming down here on the end, somebody give me your hand here. And let's come on around. Guys, you just fit right in here. Come over here to me. Come over here to me, sister, and we'll just hold hands. There we go. Are you coming in there? That's cool. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Everybody in here, come on in this circle. Join our circle. Step in. There's room. There's plenty of room. Come on. You guys back there, are you okay? Can you get in? Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I just like to hold hands. Feel the anointing of God spring through us. Huh? How many are expecting something today from God? Expecting your life to be changed? Expecting a miracle in your body? Huh? Are you? Amen. I am. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved us. We thank you that you died on the cross to forgive us for our sins. Lord, we're asking right now that you guide us, that you take away any bitterness or anger that's been in our heart. Lord, anything we're doing that we know doesn't please you, Lord, it's gone right now in Jesus' name. We're not guilty anymore. We're not condemned anymore. You've freed us from it, Jesus. And you're lifting us up right now as we humble ourselves. And you're restoring us, Lord. And we accept it. We believe it. We know it's going to happen. We confess our sins, Lord, right here. And we know that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, one who's confessed his sins, a woman who's confessed her sins, is powerful. And it will heal. And right now, Lord, as the elders touch these bodies, Lord, and lay hands on you and anoint you with oil, we ask for healing, complete healing. Cancer, heart trouble, diabetes, Lord Jesus, hearing problems, back problems, aches and pains in our joints, wherever, Lord Jesus, whatever the ailment may be, in Jesus' name we rebuke it, we send it away, and we feel your cleansing power right now, healing us in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. We believe it, we accept it, and we know it's going to happen. Yes, amen. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise God. Thank you.
You saw the Word of God come to life today. You know God's Word says it is living and active. Amen. Sharper than any two-edged sword. I'm on my way to maybe memorize Hebrews, right? Who wants to memorize the book of the Bible? And you can have this next Sunday. All right. Well, it's Pentecost Sunday next week. I know our choir's been working hard, and the Lord has started to lay something on my heart, no doubt. But we're leaving with you. If you came forward today, whatever it was for, that the power of God is upon you. And deliverance, forgiveness, healing, whatever the case may be. But that was a wonderful treat today to hear the Word of God. Did anyone follow along in the book of James as he was? Yeah, I know my wife was. Pastor Ricky was. So a number of you saw your hands go up. as he was quoting and adding some real time and some personal stuff in there. It was wonderful. Listen, we do have an honorarium for Tim, but what you've seen him do is his livelihood. This is what he's been doing since he left Hollywood back in the 1980s, traveling the country and ministering people through memorization and prayer like this. Our ushers are prepared as you are leaving, as the Lord would lay on your heart, to just give a love offering to Tim Weed, to Pastor James, and to bless him even as he has blessed us today. Amen? Amen. Well, the altars are always open. I know the children will be dismissed here in 5 minutes or so, but I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for every individual here, and I just pray your favor and your blessings upon everyone here, God, that you would cause your face to shine upon all of us gathered in the house of the Lord today. And may we have a good day today and tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have tomorrow off, enjoy your Memorial Day. And we're grateful for those that paid the ultimate sacrifice for the freedom here. Bless you, and bless you as you give an offering to